they make like Pont or any big rooms like that, but not only in paints, but also in they make powders for with a powder coating, where they statically put this powder on a metal and then they put it in an oven and it dries into like a paint. They make that kind of stuff too. Nice stuff. And you know, I don't know how much money they lost, or if they had any orders that were missing and they lost that business or lost customers. I mean, it could turn into a mess.
Hey, Dick. Yeah, go ahead, Dave. Yeah, while you're on this topic of production and companies and stuff like that, did you see that segment tonight on the 60 Minutes about the Tabasco company?
Sure did. And I have the impression that Tabasco always comes with a very strong, stingy taste. And I guess there are people, my son is one of them, who just likes a stinging taste in his food. And I don't think they make a watered-down version, do they, Dave?
No reason to. Everybody buys the good stuff. Nobody wants a watered-down version. That's not what they pay for. They want the hot stuff. And, Dick, I just want you to know something. And don't take anything that I'm going to say seriously. But two things going on here with John. We had an extensive conversation a couple of nights ago. And number one, John still hasn't found the missing plane. That's number one. And number two, he refuses to go down to the toll booth by the Verrazano Narrows Bridge and give them extra money to defray some of the costs of the bridge. What do you think about that, Dick?
Yeah, I think in the other night you guys were saying that when the bridge was first built, some very small charge, like a 50 cents or whatever per trip, was being charged, and that was going to pay for the bridge. And here we are a zillion years later, charging $15 one way. So obviously they got a money-making deal, and it's not paying the bridge anymore. So John's supposed to go down there and hand them a few $100 so that they don't have to stop everybody to pay tolls and solve the problem and keep everybody happy. And John is so stingy, he's not doing it. I am guessing, John, that with your experience with naval vessels having high, many megawatt power supplies that you've worked on, that was the process by which you're a consultant for power substations, and that's how you got called into this incident in the first place? KC2WGB, K2LIW?
Yes, Dick, and I've done work for this company before. About 10 years ago, I did some work for them, and then again about 5 years. So they called me because they know I'm not involved with any of these other issues with the attorneys, or I'm a nobody. So they just wanted to get the information straight. So once they saw that, on Friday, by nighttime, they had set up this appointment for Sunday, and they didn't let me know until today. So I had to run over there and do my little act.
You have business cards that you were handing out to these people so they know how to get a hold of you, John, go ahead.
Absolutely not, Dick. No, I don't really want to work, but I did them a favor because they've been very good to me. And yeah, between doing the stuff on board ships and doing the naval facilities on land, they were always big substations and a lot of power. So, you know, I had a lot of contacts with the manufacturers, Westinghouse, GE, Siemens, all those switchgear manufacturers. I did a lot of installations. So, no, the word gets around.
Yeah, a very corny thing for me to say, John, is, hey, John, more power to you.
Boy, oh boy. I can't imagine them getting a crane and taking this transformer back and having it repaired. I don't think that's going to happen. It's a mess. But I'm going to just keep track of it and see. I may have to go as a witness. I'm not sure. I don't think so. I don't think it's going to go to court because most of the time this stuff is, because the liability is high, and if, you know, they work around it, they, because the only ones that are going to make money are the lawyers.
What's the approximate weight of that transformer? What's the approximate dollars of that transformer? There was a vendor who did the installation. He did the sign off that he did everything. And then the customer, I guess, did some kind of a sign-off saying, yes, I accept it, and yes, I have reason to believe you've done all the right steps. I think there's enough guilt to go around. Over to you, John, K2LIW.
Yeah, I wonder how the acceptance by the owner was performed, if they had a project engineer there to do it, or they just accepted that it was done. Because if they turned it on, it worked, the power was supplied, and maybe that's how they said, okay, seems to be okay. Kind of silly.
It does sound like the shunts were stopping the temperature sensing of the over-temperature condition, and it sounded like there was no other backup, and the over-temperature created an overpressure, which pierced the case. That, in turn, allowed the oil to flow out. That, in turn, allowed the oil to be pumped so that there was no longer any cooling, which allowed further overheating. It's a real runaway condition. I presume lots of gallons of oil were sprayed. What's the maximum distance that oil was sprayed, John, and roughly how many gallons do you think?
Well, I think it's around 7 pounds, maybe 7.5 pounds a gallon, and there were 8,000 gallons.
Wow. This transformer, what are we talking about here?
I'm sorry, 8,000 pounds of oil, not gallons.
Yeah, I'm catching that. The transformer itself with the oil, what are we talking about, a 20-ton installation?
I don't think it's 20-ton, but maybe 15 tons without oil.
15 tons without oil, and after the installation, then the oil is added, and I think you said 8,000 pounds of oil. Go ahead.
Yep, 8,000 pounds of oil, and then charged with a nitrogen blanket on top.
Give me a couple of words on that. Nitrogen blanket charge. In other words, I think you're saying the top of the oil has dry nitrogen in there to make sure it's a non-explosive atmosphere. Is that true?
Yes, and it also allows the oil to expand when it gets hot and compresses the nitrogen. And by the way, if you've ever seen large porcelain insulators, they're about maybe a foot long and 6 inches in diameter, and they are molded into the metal, and that's how you connect the feed wires to the transformer bus system inside through these insulators. It blew one of them right out of the case, and that's in the door where the electrical connections are, and it's blew it out like 6 inches right off the bus.
I presume this is a three-phase transformer. And I'm going to guess the primary voltage is something in the vicinity of 50 kilovolts. Is that true?
35.5 kilovolts in, 13.8 out.
And three phase. I don't know why it would make a difference, but is the transformer wired for Y or delta, primary or secondary?
Delta in, Y out.
So the delta in means the input is completely floating. Y out means that the output has a fourth lead that's grounded, so therefore it's acting simultaneously as an isolation transformer as well as a step down. 35 kilovolts in, and I think you said 13 kilovolts out. Go ahead.
13.8.
And that in turn goes to other step down transformers throughout the factory. Is that true?
Yeah, it goes into another set of switchgear inside the building and then distributed throughout that on distributed line.
Now, in many cases, this substation is a separate structure outside of the building. In this case, this substation was inside the building?
No, it was outside the building, adjacent to the building. And that's how, when the valves were not closed, when it filled up the containment vessel, it started to leak out of those 4-inch pipes into the parking lot and into the basement of the building.
That sounds like a rather significant cleanup job. Mineral oil, I would guess, is not easy to clean, is it?
They had a company that does that. I forget the name. It's something like something served, and they come and vacuum it all up and then flush the areas down. They've got all the chemicals to do that. And they were able to do that in one afternoon.
Out of curiosity, what is the solvent to clean off mineral oil?
I'm not sure what they use. Most of it's just vacuumed up, they could have used pressure washers with water and then just kept vacuuming that up. That's another way of doing it without chemicals.
Of the 8,000 pounds of oil, roughly how many pounds had to be vacuumed up?
All of it. There was nothing left in the transformer. Empty.
I think you're telling me the pump pumped out all of the oil into the containment vessel. The containment vessel somehow sprung a leak and therefore allowed it to pour into the basement. How did the containment vessel spring a leak? Is it because of the rupture of the transformer creating a rupture of the containment vessel?
No, that's the owner's fault. In the containment vessel, which is just like a concrete pit that the transformer sits in, there are large valves. In case you get a heavy rainstorm and it fills up with water, you check for oil in the water. If there's no oil, you can just open those valves and let the water drain out into the gravel. Well, those valves were left open. There's four of them.
There's quite a comedy of errors here, isn't there?
Yeah, and out of this 20 or 24 inch curb around, there was maybe 2 inches of oil in the containment vessel because the exit pipes are like only 2 inches off of the ground.
And to extreme, vinegar, white vinegar cleans oil.
Okay, so vinegar maybe will clean up mineral oil. Okay. Sounds like you're busy being engaged. And of all those attorneys, from what you can tell, John, was anybody happy?
Well, the one attorney was a woman, I don't think female. She seemed happy. And she was representing the owner of the property. And they were all very nice, very gentle, and well-spoken, of course, but some of them got pretty angry.
Angry with each other? Angry, but the anger was directed toward who?
Circumstances. They didn't like the fact that the photographs revealed it so clearly that they couldn't deny it. It wasn't like it was hidden. And they went out to the transformer and actually took a look. They didn't know what they were looking at, but they did check to see if those jumpers were there, and they did notice that it was not on the other CTs. So they said, why would somebody do that? And how the hell am I supposed to know that?
Is there evidence that the installation crew hadn't installed this product itself previously? Were they green to what they were doing, so to speak?
I don't know about the company itself, but definitely the guys working on it were lax. Maybe they weren't experienced enough. Although this company has done not as big a transformer, but ones maybe half that size, they've done 3 or 4 installations. They should have known better, though, that you don't put greenhorns on that type of stuff.
A manufacturer. A manufacturer manufactured a transformer. Did he hire the installation vendor?
Okay, makes sense. I guess some the wires go at the ends of the slot, right? Not on the sides of the slot? EC2IS. I see. So, yeah, sort of on the sides of the slot, not on the ends of the length of the slot. Interesting. Okay. AC2IS. Yeah, okay. Thanks, Don. I just had to run back to my transmission location with the HD here. AC2IS. This is AC2IS. John, was that a question for me? I did not hear anybody else on the air. AC2IS.
Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, code number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link clear.
Hey Matt, it's node 9126.
Yeah, it wasn't a good thing.
It wasn't a happy thing. Oh, and I forgot to take that stupid whatever pill it is this morning. Oh, well.
What's the worst that could happen? They take you off the job in an ambulance?
And that's what I figured. Oh, I stuck by my guns with that non-working crap. Remember I told you I'm going to do that? I'm not going to deal with it anymore?
Yeah, and?
Oh, all it got was a call to my house 2 Fridays ago that the guy's going to come over and punch me in the face and knock my teeth in and everything else. That's all it got me.
Did you invite him over?
Oh, I went nuts. Yeah. Oh, but, you know, I have a big mouth behind the phone. Yeah, I invited him over. He didn't come over. But I'm going to be seeing him today, so we'll see what happens.
Just remember, if he hits you while you're on the job, he gets fired.
Now, he ain't going to hit me. I'm not scared. You know, I'm not scared of that at all. But it would be funny, though. But I don't care. I'm still sticking by my guns. That's the way it is, so. And I made sure to record several different people calling me up at home complaining how ridiculous this is, and someone should do something about it. So when push comes to shove, I have at least 15 different recordings of people complaining about it, not doing nothing about it.
Wow, you're like a whole proletariat bureau over there with all the recordings and all this stuff. Spyware.
Go through a divorce with an insane wife and see what happens. You'll get prepared pretty quickly for stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm set up. But I'll tell you, it was funny, man. I lived, if you guys knew what I lived through with that insane wife, when she would come, I would come home and the floors would be smashed and there'd be holes through the walls and everything else, and she would say that the lights were sending x-rays out and it was poisoning her, so she had to shatter every light in the house. And I mean, you can't get rid of them. You're stuck with that. That's the way it is. I mean, it took a long time before she finally got locked up. All right, hold on 2 seconds. I just got to grab a cup of coffee, and I'll be right out. It'll only take me, like, 20 seconds.
But I'm just tooling along on my commute in, and to be here.
M2ASS is back.
Here you go. It was a little more than 20 seconds, but okay.
Yeah, someone got in front of me. Oh, boy. So how did your week go?
My week went gloriously. Friday, I did a double, back-to-back doubles. So I got, like, 14 hours of overtime.
That is a fine thing. A fine thing indeed. You know, I'll tell you, I've never really seen, I mean, in the summers I've seen overtime where I'd work 2 nights a week, 3 nights a week, and still work my 5 days. And, of course the union screwed me when they paid me straight time for all of it, which was ridiculous. But now it's coming, now when it happens, it's time and a half. But still, I've never actually seen it to the way you have it. I've never, not once.
Well, we were out on a job on Friday, and that job wound up running 13 hours long, so that's 7 and 6. And then when we got back, rolled right into another night shift for Cablevision. So, and that one went 8 hours, or 8.5 hours of overtime. So on top of everything.
It sounds like that's a job that I would do my best to keep my nose clean, because I think it's going to stay like that for a long, long time.
It is what it is. If it ends tomorrow, it ends tomorrow. You know, you can't control
the rest of the world. You can only control what you do.
Hey, you know, I didn't know that, that Tom Sock was still around.
Yeah, it is still around. Why? You thinking of making a move?
No, but I was with them. You know, actually, when I was an apprentice, we were doing the VMS signs on the LIE. And, you know, that was years ago. And then they had Elcom Leasing. They used to lease themselves the trucks. And, you know, I enjoyed working for the shop. And then they went out of business. So I heard that's what was happening. But I guess they just basically went off Long Island. It surprised me to hear that they're the ones doing that railroad job, you know, that underground communications thing that what's-his-name is working on. Those are the electricians in there.
Yeah, I think all they did was they just reorganized and they scaled back. But they're still in the city.
The Wellsbeck slowed down usually out here. But they'll, you know, they'll bid on these next jobs. They'll bid them low, and they'll get a lot of it, probably.
Yeah, I hear you. So now I'm driving the Avenger. My daughter is now driving the Toyota.
You must miss that car tremendously.
I miss that car because I used to sit and smoke my cigars in that car. I won't smoke anything, any cigars in the Avenger.
Yeah, I gotta get something new for the family to fit in. You know, that's, I don't know. I gotta get some other kind of vehicle.
Yeah, I'll keep my eyes open for something small for her. Something that, isn't a big old rust bucket. And stuff like that, so she's just using it to go to and from school, which takes a little bit of a load off my wife now, so my wife doesn't have to get crazy and pick her up from school or drop her off. So, it's only for a couple more months.
Yeah, that'll go quick. It'll go quick.
So the wife and I got out there and vacuumed and cleaned and scrubbed and did all the things to do to make that car presentable.
Yeah, well, you know what, though? It kind of like, you'd probably rather have her in something a little newer. You know, like me, you know, if something happens on the road, we'll go out there, look under the hood, probably get it going again to get home. Where, you know, your daughter, you'd probably rather have her in something a little newer. You know, not as new as the Toxic Adventure, but something newer.
I'll keep my eyes open for something small. I'm sure I'll find something. But, put it this way, she learns all the little quirks and ins and outs of a vehicle with that car. She'll definitely be able to handle anything that a car might throw at her.
That's true. You got a point with that one.
When you get into a car and it does everything for you and you've got that, you know, overwhelming sense of the technology will take care of me rather than I need to, you know, be the master of the technology is, you know, there's a whole different mindset that goes on.
That's true. That is true. Airwaves are quiet this morning. Has Stevie been popping in the morning still?
Stevie's in Florida.
Was he taking some vacation time there or taking care of more stuff with his father's stuff that all went on?
He's going back and forth to the house in Boca. He's doing stuff down there. I think his son Ian had some spring break time, so he came up and they were spending it together. So they saw a handful of pictures of Stevie and Ian doing stuff together. I think Ian's birthday was last week, so and they spent it together. So he's doing, I guess, a little bit of both, taking care of business and spending some time with his son.
That is a good thing. Enjoy, at least he's enjoying it. At least he's sitting in a nice warm weather.
Soon enough, it'll be here. Soon enough. Enter PPN Mobile. So you're wearing green today?
You know what? I guess a dark green, I forgot. It's funny, I got my kids the outfits for school, and I forgot to put on green. Although the hoodie that I put on actually has some green to it.
Okay. What kind of outfits did you get your kids for school?
No, like the 7-year-old, I got him some kind of dinosaur shirt that had green on it. And my mother had this lighted shamrock sitting on a table. Like a necklace, you hit a button and little lights light up. So I gave him that to put on. And the other guy was just a similar thing, like one of those, I don't know what you'd call them. These kids wear these new shirts with these weird designs on the front. They almost look like, I don't know what you'd call it. Almost looks like one of those Indian kind of tribal tattoos. It's a shirt like that that's green.
Okay. Tribal tattoo shirt.
Yeah, I don't know what you'd call those things. I don't know if you've seen them. You know, they have like black lines all over it and whatever. It really doesn't make sense, type of thing.
Unless it's one of those things that you take a picture of it with your smartphone and it takes you to a website.
Yeah, kind of. It almost looks like that. I will be early today. Oh, well. That's okay. It gives me time to put on my jumpsuit and jump back in the car and let it warm up because it's sitting in the trunk. I am not ready for this. But we'll see how I feel throughout the day.
Well, you'll either feel horrible, or you'll feel horrible.
And no, it's definitely, I'm not going to feel great. I can tell you that. But, you know, I can't stay out of work that long. I was sick. I missed an entire week.
I know that from the way you were yapping on the radio.
Yeah, I know. I told everyone I was sick, though. That was on the weekends, for the most part, driving back and forth to pick up my son. But I was... Last Saturday, I felt better, you know, for a little bit, and I loaded wood in the house, you know, and then I just felt sick again really bad. Every night, waking up in a ball of sweat. Except now, that stopped about 3 days ago.
How do you get sweat into a ball?
I guess because I was cold, and I was curled up into a ball, and I was sweaty.
Okay.
One good thing, though, I would have been on the bridge. I would have been putting cobra heads on the Robert Moses Bridge. And when I was there the other weeks, it was cold up in the air in the middle of that bridge. So it's kind of good someone else had to do that.
Wonder if they got as many up as you would have gotten up.
And they would have got the same. I'm not racing anymore.
You change them to LEDs?
You know, actually, I don't even know. When I was there, I didn't actually put up any heads. What I did was I was getting the wire down the pole, took off the old one, got new wire down the pole, and then we spliced it in the bottom to get the head in. So I actually never saw the new ones.
Hope you ever get a chance, you'll have to see if they're LEDs.
Yeah, I'll find out what they are. I wouldn't be surprised, they probably are.
Well, I finally got a look at the Throgsnick Bridge lighting job the other day. I was coming through there. They replaced all the necklace lights with LEDs.
Oh, that must have been nice. How does it look? Oh, well, I guess you didn't get a chance to see it at night yet.
the bridge looks very nice. Very evenly lit. No bright spots, no dark spots, no shadows. Looks very nice. And the necklace looks pretty cool, too.
Hey, you know, yesterday there was a guy asking me for, he asked if I ever came across, he said it was like a motorized switch with many contacts that would just keep spinning around in a circle, and they used it for marquee lighting, like at a theater to make the lights go around. I've actually never seen one of those. Have you ever seen one, and if you did, what would it be called?
It's a mechanical switch for marquee lighting, for chaser lights. I've seen them. I don't know what the hell you call them. Imagine a torque time clock with, you know, like an 8-pole switch hooked up to it so that you could turn on and off sequentially 8 different switches.
I would imagine it would go fairly quickly, though. You know, I was wondering if you could do something like that with an F-tray. You know, like, you know, take an F-tray and hook it up like that. You probably could. You could make that thing click off pretty quick.
Yeah, you could probably take an open marble light controller motor and put a whole bunch of more pins in there, but the problem, and but you also have to turn around and drive a whole lot more circuits. Because typical, like, marquee chaser lights, I believe it's at least 6 to 8 circuits has to go sequentially. So you would turn around and, let's say, have A through G for your contacts, and then your bulbs would be, you know, A through G, A through G, A through G, A through G, and this way, by the time the G light went out, the A light would be coming right back on again, so it creates the chaser effect.
I'm going to look for that, see what it's called. I got to figure that one out. But, interesting. And like I said, I figured you being in the city would have more chance on seeing something like that. I've never seen it.
Yeah, maybe in my apprentice days I might have seen it, but I wouldn't see it now. Something like that is very easy to make digitally. You know, you make the whole thing digitally, and then you just drive the relays. And once you drive the relays, will, you can turn around and, you know, go out to contact blocks where you can connect up, you know, all your A lamps, all your B lamps, C lamps, blah, blah, blah.
Guess you could. You had power strong enough relays. Contacts, you could do it.
Well, depending upon how you set it up for power, that's all. And if you're using new technology, if you're using LED lamps, you don't even need high power relays.
That's true. I'll tell you, the new LEDs are something. They are something. I bought those dimmable ones and stuck them in the bedroom. They're great.
Almost my entire house is all LEDs.
Did you get them at Costco when they went on sale?
No. When I did my kitchen, I spent almost $1,300 on just lamps alone.
Now I know where all that overtime is going.
That's 2 years ago already, Kramer.
Gave it to me.
Look who came in. Are you still in Florida via IRLP or Echolink, or are you here?
I wish I was still there. No, I'm here, trundling in. Where's me gold?
Yeah, that little guy's been on standby, whatever, on call for the last 4 days, and he's still on call for another 3 days, I think. So he's obviously sitting somewhere with his pot of gold and his shamrocks.
It's a busy time for the elfin one, that's for sure.
No, today he's a leprechaun. Where's me gold?
you guys to know that I was back, Jack.
NC Orleans, I'm at JetBlue Terminal, blah, 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 posting. So I guess you were trying to get a little incognito?
No, I treated myself to an old iPad Air, so I was playing with that thing.
Ooh, an old one. Where'd you find that?
I bought it at Best Buy.
Nice. Nice. So you was playing with your iPad.
iPad Air. That's all setting it up. Do that here and there. Pretty slick. You know, Colonial have hers to herself. She plays a lot of games. Down there. Wasn't really, really hot. I saw Jeff Ion. We hung out one night with Ian, which was fun. I think you saw some pictures on that. Saw a nice rock band down in Delray. And it was a good time. And my son is 21 as of Friday.
So you had a good week. That's a good thing.
Yeah, it was good hanging out with my son. Speaking of sons, did you hear from the Total Warrior? Is he there? Did he send you a message?
I've heard from him a couple of times via Facebook Messenger. He's, filling this undisclosed location. And, he said he had ordered some stuff, and the shipping was ridiculous to send it over there, so he asked if, he says he'll have it shipped to our house, and we could just pack it up in a flat rate box or something, and I guess send it over to him at his ATO. So we've got a couple of boxes ready to go. Probably send them out this afternoon, this evening.
Help you put baby wipes in there.
You can call me up later and I can give you my FedEx account number. And it's quite a big discount. And you'll just have to eventually pay me what the shipping costs were.
I have a FedEx account number. I also have a UPS account number. But, apparently, the flat rate box is the best way to go to APO addresses because you just pack it full of whatever you can, and it's the one flat rate, and it usually winds up being cheaper than any of the other carriers or the other services going overseas to Afghanistan.
Well, that's good, then. That works out good.
Did you put baby wipes in there?
No, but I'm going to be putting a salami to the boy in the army in there.
Baby wipes. Baby wipes. Number one commodity.
Really? What, did he, like, buy and sell them and trade them like cigarettes in prison?
That's it. They pull out the sheets and they lay them out on the table.
Alright, I'll probably hear from him sometime today. I'll ask him if he wants baby wipes. I'll send him, the flat pack ones, like the refillables.
We'll get him at Costco.
What else? Did I miss any excitement?
Fish tank was all ammonia.
So what'd you do about it?
Oh my God, I went nuts with that stupid thing. You know, I went nuts with the baking soda trying to raise the pH. That didn't do a thing. So then I finally bought an ammonia test kit and a nitrate test kit. And I bought this thing that eats up the ammonia and I poured that in there. I changed all the filter cartridges out with a lot of those white ammonia eating chips and a lot of carbon. I changed that out and I did a half water change. The next day I did a half water is where it should be. The ammonia is zero. And I left the tank of the top of the tank open because that was huge advice. That was the best advice you gave me.
Okay. Good. Yeah, with that size tank, it's gonna take some time. So what's the casualty total?
Maybe upwards of 30 fish.
25%?
Yeah, maybe more. You know, you lose count. You take out 10, you take out 10, you lose count. Some get eaten. You don't even know where they are. So, yeah, at least 30. And I'm going to leave it that way. The tank thinned out a little bit. I'm going to leave it that way. The fish are happy. And that's it.
Yeah, that was like a time bomb waiting to go off. Okay, good. Glad to hear that was rectified.
Hey, another thing. I wonder if you're better off with sand. Because I know I'm in the itchy, scratchy zone. So I'll be out of this in a minute. But, you know, the gravel, when I'm cleaning the tank out, I'm going through the bottom of the gravel, and a whole bunch of crap came out of there. No matter how many times I did it, I would still find stuff in that gravel. And, I mean, I'm thinking with sand, it won't work its way down to the bottom like it does in the gravel.
Well, the gravel's acting like a filter. So you're going to end up losing a lot of sand. You know, you're going to end up sucking that up when you clean it out. So I don't think it's cost-effective.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it was rough. That was rough. And I'm just going to keep doing that. I figure maybe, how much do you do a water change? Like, should I do one-third water changes every week? Or every 2 weeks or something?
You got to cut down on the population in there. Or you're going to have the swimming dead.
I'm in a scratchy zone. Zombie apocalypse fish.
Exactly. All right. Cut down on the population, you'll be a lot happier, Cam, but you'll have to do a lot less. You shouldn't have to do those once a week. You should be doing them, for that size tank, maybe once a month, tops.
Hey, I found a guy with a 350-gallon boat tank. That was a beautiful tank. The guy wanted $1,800, but that's even a good price. But the thing is, I think if I put something like that in, I'd have to support the floor below it. So I said, you know what, this is just too much work. I'm going to leave what I got alone.
You need to cut back on your toys.
Everything that I get involved with, I buy in bulk. And then I sell off the extra. Like that whole setup, I purchased, I don't know, I think I paid $475 or something. And I ended up getting, selling off all the parts for like $900. So I basically made $500 and kept the tank. You see, scratch yourself now.
And to be fair,
if you're better into the 220 at this point, we could all switch if you have 220 in the Avenger.
That's going to be a warm weather project. Whether I swap out for the 742 and for the radio.
I took the vet for a spin yesterday. I just couldn't take it.
Really? You got plates and insurance on it, or you did this clandestinely?
Just a clandestine ride up the top of the hill. But I went like 3 or 4 times. Usually I go once, maybe twice. This time was 4 times. Thing was, I was getting on it a little bit. Moved.
I'll tell you what surprised me about that car. Now, I had 23 different Corvettes. That would have been my 24th. Out of all of them that I had, including the newer ones, that one happened to have the tightest steering. I was impressed with the way that one drove. A big difference between a car with low mileage and a car with like near 100. Big difference. That car really, it was a tight I have to say, that was a tight call. You're going to be very happy with that.
Okay. Well, I've had one. One is the loneliest number. And I'm jumping at the bit to get it on the road. I was trying to figure out a way if I could register it down in Florida. But I have to register the call first, because all the, up here, because all the paperwork is, you know, New York-based. I didn't want to go through all the hassle down there having to, you know, add different forms and stuff. So I'll register it here and then probably switch down the road.
Fred did that. He didn't have any trouble at all. He said it was, like, super easy. He went down and he took a call from that he bought here, and he went up there and registered it there, and he said he had no trouble with it.
With the registration in his name from up here?
No, he bought it up here. You know, he bought it up here. He had to do something with the taxes, though. He had to pay some kind of New York tax or like a tax difference. I don't remember what it was. It was some kind of tax difference that he had to pay.
And that was the hassle I was to avoid. Because I want to put the Cadillac in my name, so I figured I'd kill two birds with one stone, but looks like I got to kill one stone at a time. Two birds with two stones. Sorry.
You know what? Not to drown out the conversation here. You should maybe look into that Hagerty insurance. You're not going to use the thing much, and you're just going to basically use it in the summer. Once you get that Hagerty insurance, which is like, you know, the car's old enough, you could do it.
I know. I was looking at that, too.
It'll be insured for like $22,000, too.
Did they have to inspect the car? They sent somebody to look at it?
They didn't with my Chevelle, but I sent them a bunch of pictures. They didn't do it with the Chevelle. But even if they did, the car's clean and the mileage is true. You know, so I think it'll be all right.
All right. Well, I'm probably going to do something this week. Get the insurance and everything going first. So within the next couple of weeks. And then I got to start working on the boat.
Where's Richie Rich? Stop in there, Richie.
In my noisy spot. I don't know if you can hear me.
Yeah, we hear you.
This car just gets out a little better.
I guess it's the height of it. Like my truck makes a big. My truck makes a huge difference over the car. Yeah, I guess I should start on the boat. So actually, I'm probably gonna get rid of the boat and get a bow rider or a deck, bow rider or a sun deck.
Yeah, that thing is huge that you have.
Well, it's really not huge, but it's kind of ridiculous to. I mean, we don't use the cabin, we don't stay overnight. Why bother? You know, a little sun deck or even a bow rod, you just jam the thing straight up onto the beach, motors up, drag it onto the beach, jump off the front. You know, the smaller boats, there's a lot to be said for them. You have a lot of fun with them. You know, a lot of fun. Like, I really like Rich's boat.
Really like my boat, too.
My wife, though, would give me a little trouble with it, because yours is the kind of boat you're going to feel the waves. But, man, when the water's glass, you're going to feel the breeze, because you'll be doing 50 across it.
Decide to go with a jack plate and some other nonsense. I don't think I'm going to get that boat going much faster. I've got it pretty much beat out as far as it'll go with what it's running on.
I found a guy with a 2002... sun deck, and they pull the motor and outdrive, and I could get the boat super cheap, and I thought about it. That would be a great project to, you know, you put that thing on the back and then put an outboard on there. That would be a nice project. But I said, you know what, by the time I got done, it'd be so expensive, it's just not worth it.
My big thing right now is I'm looking around for a motorcycle trailer bag.
Motorcycle trailer bag?
Why not speak English? Motorcycle trailer in a bag. If you Google it up, you'll see what it is. It's called trailer in a bag.
Yeah, we didn't hear you. Somebody from Dublin with you. Did you say a motorcycle hag?
Yeah, right. You got it.
That's funny because I didn't hear him at all. Not a word. Tell me a 2SCT.
Yeah, okay. I think that I'm speaking, and I thought that I was talking, and, you know, hey, maybe it's the Irish leprechauns or something that are just, like, you know, turning around and interfering with my transmissions. You know what? That's it. I'm done. I'm looking for my parking spot. And it's 2PP, and I'll catch you guys later.
W2SCT. Morning. How long there, Rich? Still got Steve out there. Hey, Pete, how are you? Might as well send it around. Pete, take it, send it to Stevie. And, Rich, you have a good day, and I'll catch you on the ride home.
Good morning, Frank. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you, Pete. Go ahead.
I was calling in 3 or 4 times, so, I don't know, Rich is signing, and I just wanted to make sure the repeater was operating or getting through. And good morning to you and Steve, if he's in there. Back to you, Greg.
Yeah, that was weird, because when you called in, I said you take it and send it over to Steve, but then maybe you didn't hear me either. And now Steve's not answering. He might have found his spot, too.
No, I'm here, waiting for the dogs to settle.
Okay, I heard Rich signing, and he was saying that he couldn't hear anything. I'm not sure, but went on board for a little bit here, and I'm around, be out of it until I get through Milbank. Steve, why don't you take it? How are you doing this morning? Turn over to Greg.
Yeah, you're in a little noisy there. Doing okay. Back to the grind. Was down south for a couple of days. Well, my son had a good time.
Out there, and hope you both had a good weekend.